Okay, looks like we're gonna be able to call to order the airport committee for May 10th, a little after 2 o'clock. And the first item would be the roll call. And I am Jeff Bertolite, and we'll start off with the far end.
Mark Watkins.
Dan McCray.
Ralph Busby.
That's it. No, just hold it.
Susan Painter.
Jim Shaw.
Cynthia Jacoby.
Lance Vanderbeck.
I'm Eric Glover.
Okay, it doesn't also look, we don't have anybody in the audience right now, but it's good for us to record this so they can listen to it later. Next item would be the approval of the minutes from last meeting.
And due to staffing shortages in the administration office, we don't have minutes provided yet. They're still working on somebody to do those. So hopefully either next meeting or the meeting after, we'll have minutes for all of the previous meetings.
Okay, I think that's probably the way to go there. I listened to the meeting of last month, so we'll just wait then for the actual written minutes to see if there's any changes that they'd like to make. Okay, and the next item then would be discussion items. And 4A is the first one, timeline checklist. But Derek said he had to come back. Is that what happened?
Correct. So this goes off of... sorry for the last minute addition, basically, but at the last meeting there was a discussion that was had between the committee and city attorney. We finally got confirmation from Derek that he'd be able to stop in and talk with you guys on the development timeline checklist, particularly on the concerns that were brought up from the last meeting. So I guess if you would like, Chair, you can move on to 4B until Derek gets here. It's up to you.
Is this the same checklist we had last time, or has this been changed?
No, nothing's been changed on that checklist. So they wanted you to have a copy of the original checklist. Derek has all of the items that he is going to go over and talk with you guys about. But that's the original checklist from the last meeting.
Well, I didn't bring my notes for the last meeting where I had the changes to the last one because I didn't know it was going to be on the agenda. So right. We weren't really set up for this. I assume he was given David Allen's input on it.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I had a little conversation with David Allen this, before the meeting, and I guess they had some discussions, and Derek knows about them, but evidently if they're not here, it's going to be a little difficult for us to remember what was on there. So it may be that we'd still be able to give our comments, but have to wait till perhaps the next meeting to do anything about it. In that case, what would be the next, I guess, where are we here with the next item is actually 4B then, right? So that would be the notice of decision for the City Council's affirmation of the Planning Commission's approval of a conditional use permit for the animal shelter. Lance?
All right, so item 4B is the notice of the decision for the City Council's affirmation of the Planning Commission's approval and condition use permit for the animal shelter. Background information on this is the Newport City Council by order number 2022-1 affirmed the Newport Planning Commission's decision to approve a conditional use permit application for Lincoln County to construct a 12,000 plus square foot animal shelter and a 10,000 square foot storage on 5 acres of Newport Municipal Airport. The subject site is situated south of runway 20 and is in the U.S. and south of the U.S. Coast Guard station on property owned by the city and identified by the Lincoln County assessors as a tax lot 200, the tax map 11-11-32-00. A copy of the adopted order is enclosed. The additional copies may be reviewed or obtained at the Community Development Department located in Newport City Hall, 169 Southwest Coast Highway, Newport, Oregon, 97365. Order number 2022-1 is the City of Newport's final decision on the conditional use permit application. The decision may be appealed to the Oregon Board of Land Use, LUBA, and as of last night, we got confirmation from Attorney Sean T. Malone, who is representing Dan McCray for a appeal of this decision. So if the committee would like to discuss anything further on the animal shelter or anything that might want to be sent up to administration, I guess now is your time.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Okay, yes, one of the things I asked to be put on the agenda at the last meeting was a discussion of the animal shelter and the airport committee's prior recommendation and a discussion on perhaps rescinding that recommendation. And I would make a motion that we rescind our prior recommendation to have the animal shelter on the airport property. And if anybody would like to second that, we can proceed.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second, so we have some discussion time. Who wants to go first? Jim, go ahead.
Planning department decided that it met all the criteria as far as they were concerned from the planning department situation part of it. And they did not get involved in the things that we're talking about, aircraft noise and all that part of it wasn't part. And so my question is, isn't that now up to the Lincoln County to decide what they want to do and not us, the city?
Well, all we're talking about is our recommendation that we made previous and either to keep it or rescind it. Now, all we do is make recommendations. We're an advisory committee by nature. What the county does or any other organization is up to them, and all they can do is receive our input.
Mark?
Well, I'd like to state for the record that I have already rescinded my decision. There's a lot of information that we did not have that was critical for the operational aspects of the airport, and that came to light pretty much after we approved it. So I think this is a very, very good recommendation.
Also, probably a good time to from hearing what the last meeting is, if anybody would like to declare a potential conflict of interest, it allows you to talk about it, but if you're not on record, it may be an issue for somebody.
Dan McCray, obviously I filed the appeal, so I would have a conflict of interest.
Okay, that's good. Cindy?
Yeah, I just had a few comments about the situation. It is indeed in the hands of the county right now. I believe they put a 90-day stay period during which they will be looking for another suitable location. They may find one, they may not. It may be back in the city council's hands, but just to reiterate, the vote the city council took last month was not a vote on whether we liked or wanted the animal shelter. It was only on a very narrow land use ruling as to the information given to the planning commission, what they had. Was it accurate at the time? Well, accurate. Was the information adequate for them at the time they made their decision? That's what we had to base our decision on. That was the city's vote. So we'll just see how this shakes out. I'm kind of hoping the county finds another place. Is anyone helping them?
The other information I received was that this was we can make our decisions, but the city's information for this is actually a final order. However, they didn't sign a lease, and so that would be coming back to city council, and that would be another issue. But it doesn't necessarily stop any recommendations for here. But
there have been no papers signed, no leases signed, so
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
In full disclosure, I'm going to sit this vote out. I have a potential conflict of interest. As you know, I've entered into a long-term lease agreement with the City of Newport on the airport property. So any potential ties to that situation, I think I'm going to rescind myself from any further discussion or a vote.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Anybody else have more? Susan, you want to add anything, or you're fine? Or
I think I'm fine. I think we had less information than we have now at the time that we made the recommendation. I think it's appropriate that we withdraw our recommendation, regardless of how we stand on the technical legal issue of conditional use permit. Every part of the process makes a difference, and I'm glad to see that the animal shelter is looking elsewhere.
Okay, I think everybody's had a chance to speak. Ken's not with us. I guess we'll call for the vote. All those in favor of rescinding the recommendation, say aye.
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 All those opposed, aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, next item is 4C, EcoFight Consulting.
Got a quick question.
Sure.
Since we don't have a majority of, since we have a member missing and we have two abstentions.
But Dan voted aye through that last one.
I don't feel that, unless you guys think I should sit this out, you decide.
You did state earlier that you were.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Never mind.
You did state earlier that you were abstaining, correct? Or that you were sitting out this round?
No, I just told you that. Yeah, but I mean, I've stated that I have a conflict, but I didn't say I was sitting it out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not a lawyer.
I don't think he has a conflict. He has a potential conflict. Big difference.
Again, I'm not a lawyer. I mean, you brought the action.
And just to clarify, I don't have a vote. So just the city liaison.
So that basically, if that were the case, it'd be 3-3-1. That's still four people.
Well,
so
it was 4-1 if you count Dan's vote.
Right, even if you didn't, it would still be.
Well, that's why I raised the question, because it was 3-1. You don't have a majority of the committee, because we have an absent, and if it was 3-1, you know, that was my question. It wasn't a statement. Was a question.
I think there's still four people voting, so I think, even though it didn't go that way, I think it still carries.
If nothing else, they'll come back and tell us. And
they will.
Most importantly, like I said, we are an organization of recommendation and advisory only. And whether it turns out to be a valid vote or not, I think the gist of our opinion will carry through.
Okay. So the next item would be the, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, EcoFight Consulting, Gavin Curtis, president. Unfortunately, the first letter that we saw in the agenda was pretty brief, and then we do have information in front of us, although I haven't really had a chance to digest it. The request seems to be if we would be willing to hear their proposal in the future. Is that correct?
Yes, the item, I think it's 4C now. The Curtis Gavin, president of, I think it's EcoFight Consulting, Advanced Air Mobility AAM proposal. So from here, you should have my staff report, and then basically I copied a couple of his paragraphs in and out, but for those of you listening at home, it says, currently the ONP is completely underutilized and is a financial drain on the city. The AAM plan will decentralize personal travel and cargo transportation, creating a completely new paradigm for this regional airport. Vertiports would create living wage jobs and additional revenue for the airport. The Coos County Airport has realized the potential for this market and is planning to complete a cargo vertiport, which will be funded by the Beta Technologies out of Vermont. FedEx has ordered 150 heavy lift cargo e-volts. for the fleet in preparation for this upcoming revolution. ONP has the opportunity to be the on the forefront of this advancement in sustainable air mobility. Gavin Curtis has provided a proposal for the vertiport at Newport Municipal Airport. Mr. Curtis is looking for a partnership with the City of Newport and would require a formal agreement, more so an MOU, to satisfy one of the components of his agreement with the state grant he was awarded. If the committee recommends moving forward, Mr. Curtis will provide a report 20 pages long and findings at no cost to the city. Mr. Curtis is willing to provide a presentation at a future airport committee meeting to answer any questions about his proposal. So this would be the time, I guess, to look over it, I guess decide if you guys would like Mr. Curtis to come in June and then potentially get any questions that you would want him to answer during that presentation time.
Well, I think we need to see what the implications to the city are before we make any kind of commitment to anything. And the amount of information we received to date doesn't allow us to do that. So I think if you give him 20 minutes on the agenda, that's perfectly acceptable. But he didn't go too far in answering the questions. It was a poorly presented introduction, I might add. I think the first sentence in his letter is a little insulting to the city. But also, like say, if you want to present something, you should tell the people what you're going to present and what the implications are to the party you're presenting to. So hopefully he can do a better job if we give him 20 minutes in June.
Would that be that you're acceptable to having some time in June?
That was 300 words that said YES.
Anybody else have a comment?
Well, information's always free, so. But I want to clear the air here. But the same thing with Ralph said, I felt it was somewhat insulting to what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I agree with it. Would the first sentence could be well better handled than they came out with. However, there is a future, a strong future actually, and several companies are working with electrified and vertical takeoff planes and types, and it's coming. It's going to be here. So I would like to know, and his maybe a question would be, how much area does he need? We've got a north side area that we're looking at right now, but this little picture in here looks like they need several acres. So I think we're going to need a lot more information. And however, I'm pleased that they want to look at Newport for developing something and bringing in, this would bring quite a few jobs in and be put us on the map pretty much. And we're centrally located, and also with our tsunami situation, we could be well placed for perhaps even FEMA money too. So it could amplify what we're able to do here.
Sure, I'll let him know that he has a time slot and he can get some presentation material together for the June meeting.
In the meantime, people could pass along maybe the questions they would come up with. You know, I think space would be one, and then of course people were concerned about how much money. Obviously, since we're a drain on the city right now, we don't have any money. But
one of the emails that I got from Mr. Curtis said that it was a no cost to the city agreement, but for him, for the grant that he received, he has to have a memorandum of understanding to go through, and he would like to use Newport as the starting point to do that and see if it would be, a good adventure, I guess.
That'd be great, especially as if he already has a grant, which is a huge step forward. And normally you need, a city, some sort of a base anyhow. But I did look their firm up, and they are a legitimate firm with a lot of expertise. So they have the horsepower to get this going. Whether or not it's feasible, we don't know yet. So look forward to it in June.
Sure, okay. And I guess if any of the committee members have any particular questions they would like, go ahead and email them to me and I'll send them on to Curtis to hopefully prepare for a presentation.
Yeah, I think, and also in his presentation, as long as they can make it short, he might identify the types of aircraft that might be, you know, currently available or coming online. That'd be just a question I would like to see. So the next one, if that's fine, we would go into the operations report.
All right. Hold on a second, I gotta find it. All right, item 5A, the operations report. For those of you listening at home, I attended a city council meeting on April 4th, 2022, the council meeting for agenda item 8A, hearing on the appeal for the Planning Commission decision approving Lincoln County Animal Shelter, motion passed 5-2. Item 8B, consideration of potential approval for airport land lease for Doug Lystra, motion passed 7-0. Item 8C, consideration and potential approval of airport land lease for James Seaver, hangar build site J. That motion also passed 7-0. Attended the April 18th, 2022 council meeting for item 8A, final order and findings affirming the Newport Planning Commission's decision and or decision to approve the conditional use permit for the Lincoln County Animal Shelter. That motion passed 5-2. Met with Gavin Curtis of the EcoFight Consulting, which we just went over. Solar Power had a meeting with Spencer Niebel and Derek Tokos to go over solar feasibility study and funding for the airport and the upcoming budget. There has been some money set aside for that project to move forward and get a solar feasibility study at the airport. Capital Projects participated in a department head meeting for capital projects for fiscal year 22-23. Oregon Airport Managers Association, April 13th, participated in OWAMA board meeting. Agenda items included review of executive director job candidates, fall conference planning and committee reports. Environmental Assessment, AIP 29, hosted a public open house with Susan Cunningham from ESA to present draft findings of environmental assessment for obstructions. There were a few people in attendance of the meeting and we have received a few public comments on the report as well. FAA Affluent Pump Station meeting, attended a meeting called by the FAA after public concerns were submitted to regional director about septic system for the potential animal shelter. Budget meetings.
Hey, Lance. So what was the result of that meeting?
That was a meeting called by the FAA. That was with Spencer and Derek and myself, and I believe David Allen was there.
Well, what was the determination and what was the FAA's concerns?
The determination was is that we didn't have a current plan at this time and we would need to go through planning to see if it was going to be suitable for that area. Well, no, they have to go through the planning and then submit the paperwork to the FAA to see if that is going to be a suitable use for that area. Budget meetings, budget committee hit and wish list. There were three items requested to respond on for the April 26 budget committee meeting: airport rents and leases, re-examine markup of Avgas and Jet A, and subsidy for commercial air service. And then the budget committee did also add one more, and that was a 20% markup for hangar rents, which I had to respond to as well. Self-serve FMU update. Mascot received the second part and will be scheduling a time when the tech is here in the area for install. Mascot has the main board on order from the last time. So that part has come in, the main board. Operations equipment. The Kubota is back up and running after the mower had an issue, the 5-foot mower, and have been out mowing fields, which is nice, handling that Scotch broom. Or Ryan Parker. And here's how we ended on the month. We had air.
Lance, question before you leave the other page. You mentioned hangar rents. We already recommended a raise in the hangar rents. Is this an addition to that, and are you only referring to the city-owned hangars?
That is an addition, and the only question that I got was specifically that. It was like three words, hangar rents, 20%. So I needed clarification from the budget committee if they were talking all hangar rents or not. I did talk about how the leases do have the CIP adjustment in it, which is the annual CIP, and it would go up by, you know, a couple of cents this time around and stuff, but that would be up to the recommendation that would be sent forth from the budget committee if they want to raise the rents by 20% across the board, and then of course that would have to be an approval by council. So that I was trying to respond the best I could with the four words they gave me.
Okay, good enough. Well, of course, you can't raise the rents on a lease unless you have mutual agreement. So it'd have to be the month-to-month leases on the T-hangers if that were to be the case, unless someone like Jeff would like to have his rent raised 20%.
So on the T-hangers themselves also have that language for the CPI rate adjustment, and I did put that in the report. And then I also provided what a 20% increase would look like. But it's pretty much just information-wise. I don't have say one way or the other. And I know the committee had already made a recommendation prior to that. So just that's out there.
Was that just a comment, or was that actually a motion?
That was a hit and wish list item. They had close to like 75 things on there. So they added one towards the end.
Yeah, that happens a lot in the committees like that. Sometimes it doesn't make it to the final report, but it's good to know that somebody's looking at that. And that's good that you were there to feed them information where they potentially were lacking some. Go ahead.
You stopped. So how we ended on the month, for April, we had 546 operations, of course, for those of you that are new here. And listening at home, one operation is when a plane lands, that's one operation. When that plane takes off, that's one operation. So we had 546 logged operations, and we pumped 4,471 gallons of fuel, bringing our total up to 70,902, which is a little over last year's 66,356. Where we are at for jet fuel, we've done 57,833 gallons, which is over 48,207 from the previous year. We're lagging still on the avgas, only at 13,069. Last year we did 18,149.
And just remember, all operations are not logged.
Correct. That FBO log is from 8 to 5, and that's if me or one of the other employees is there and able to log aircraft landing and get a tail number from that aircraft. So rental cars. We did 44 rental cars. We're a little bit down from the previous year. Last year we did 52 in April. This year we're only at 44. Crew cars, which I'll have an update on crew car here as well. We did 28, which is a little bit down from last year at 39. I did add in the local fuel prices for Jet A and for Hunter Low Lead, and it is bad. I have never had to update my prices so many times in 1 month. It's been ridiculous. Jet A is currently in the average of, or low is $4.99, high is $7.93 for an average of $5.95. Currently, Newport is at $5.90 and $6.10 with Prist, which is the additive. 100 low lead, the average is at, or the low is at 6, the high is at $7.82, the average is at $6.73. Full service for the area, there's only three airports left that are offering full service. Low is $6.95, high is $7.82, average is $7.41. Self-serve, low is $6, high is $6.95, average is $6.53. Currently at Newport Municipal, self-serve is at $6.78. And then, of course, with the prepaid fuel card, that's $6.08 for the people using the prepaid fuel card.
Lance, I want to go back to our self-service fuel situation, because you know how I feel about that. Sundown's now by 8:30, it's starting to get late. People are starting to fly in later and later and later. They can't get fuel after 5 o'clock. Have you nailed down when this is going to be fixed with our service company?
So I contacted them last week, and they guaranteed me that the service guy had the part in his van. And I haven't been able to make contact with him yet to find out when exactly he will be in Newport. We've had a few people call in asking about the self-serve for after hours, but it's been pretty limited. Not saying that people don't fly in and don't read their NOTAMs and don't call ahead like some prepared pilots do, but so we've had a few people call about it.
Lance, man, I appreciate you, but don't rely on NOTAMs. I haven't read it. I haven't listened to a NOTAM in 3 years since I've flown to Portland, but yeah, that's fine. So I just want this thing fixed, man. So, and then also the shutoff, the automatic shutoff gate valve that's inside the tank, that's going to happen at the same time.
Well, that's going to happen once the tank gets lower. That's that clock I was talking to you about that has that cable string, the metal string that goes down onto the end of the suction head. And that, I believe, is what is holding up the suction from getting down into that bottom part of the tank.
Right. Because we don't know. There could be 30% fuel left in that tank when it shuts off. We have no way of knowing, do we?
Well, it's been shutting off on an average of anywhere from 30% to 35%. We have figured that out because we do have a stick and we can stick the tank. But it's not supposed to shut off till we get down to the 10% mark. And that's where the issue is, because then we can't get a full load of fuel, which then therefore we have to pay a little bit more. So we do know that's where it's shutting off. And we think we have it dialed in on what we need to do to fix that issue. Of that floating suction getting basically bound up by that metal cable.
Okay. If you need help with that, just come grab Ralph. He's good at that stuff.
You're a little smaller than I am, and if somebody has to go in that tank, Mark, I think it ought to be you.
I need somebody with a skinny arm.
What's the status of the 100 truck? Is that operational, unoperational? Is there fuel in it, no fuel in it?
There is fuel in it, but that we would have to buy to bring it back into compliance, so we'd have to buy a brand new hose for it. And we, you know, the cost of those hoses are $1,800. So we have decided to go with that plan that was approved by the committee of having that fuel in the truck and to fill the self-serve tank when it was hitting that 30%. For the possibility that, of course, we ran into loads not making it on time or being 3 to 4 weeks out.
Well, for the record, it does have fuel in it that you can't offload into the tank now.
Yes.
That's what I thought, but somebody asked me that.
It does run, it does work, but we can't sell fuel out of it because the hose is not in certification. But we can pump it into the tank because it will then go through filters in a certified hose.
Yeah.
And I don't make the rules.
The fuel is supposed to shut off at 10%, not 30.
Correct. The fuel in the tank should be at 10%, not at 30%, which is leaving us, I think, anywhere from 1,800 to 2,000 gallons that's just sitting there that we can't use.
How big is the fuel truck tank?
It's a 700-gallon fuel truck tank.
Oh, too bad it's not bigger. I mean, I was just thinking you could, if you're waiting for the fuel to go lower, you could pump into that fuel tank to get it down to where you want it to be, and then, of course, pump it back later after if you did your cable. As an option, but it's 700 gallons, so you need a little more than that, I guess.
Right.
Is that it?
Well, just a little update on the crew car situation. Looked into that and did find out that CIS did pay the city of Newport a chunk of money, which I got authorization to use to look for another crew car as long as it's safe and meets standards. So what I was planning on doing was reaching out to a couple of dealerships and saying, I have X amount of money. You guys have a car available that we could use at the airport for a crew car, and you guys can put maybe your logo on the trunk or something like that to see if we can get, I guess, a little better car or maybe some type of maintenance agreement with them, because that's another issue that we had with those Ford Crown Vics was the constant maintenance.
Well, how much money did they give you?
That's classified information. No, I'm kidding. It was $7,200.
Whoa. I'll give you Jeff's van.
Woohoo. Well, we might actually need a bigger car, a van, because we do get people coming in who have larger groups that end up having to take two trips or call a cab. And I'm not against the cab company or anything like that, but just, you know.
That'd be great. There's practically maybe potentially private parties, but that'd be a nice idea to have advertising on the side that they would help, you know, maintain it. That'd be great. Is that any more?
Just added the pictures, had a really cool EC341 Gazelle come in. That is the, I guess, the first model of the current EC135. So that was really cool to see. I believe it was built in 78. So it's in a lot better shape than I am. and then, of course, we had a picture of the 560 and the Ameriflight Beach 99. Citation 525, and then a really cool Pitts came in, you know, with the red, white, and blue markings and the checkered on it. And the guy does use it as an aerobatic plane, so that was kind of neat to see, even though he didn't do any aerobatics for us. But that's all that I have for the operations report. I guess if you would like to wait for a minute, I'll go find Derek.
Yeah, go ahead. Maybe we can get you to go find her. because I think we've been going to committee comments. I had a couple of things that maybe hadn't been addressed yet, but they were on the agenda prior to this, and that was the site, you know, we were talking about identifying areas to build in the north end. And we were talking maybe at the Saturday that we could... And David went over this. We don't have a committee, but we could have a work committee, but tell people get together and work on some things and then present it to us. So it wouldn't be in violation of public meeting laws, but that'd be one thing that we do have some expertise around that would help speed up the process. And then, of course, it'll be interesting in June to see how much land this other person might require. But that'd be just one item, and there's probably a couple of people who would be willing to provide input to help.
You're talking about the development of the north end. We did go over that at the last meeting, and I did send out a very first renditional draft from PAE about what could go on that north end. You guys are free to set up a work group and look at that and get back comments. I know one of the comments I did here was about more buildings because it didn't seem that tie downs would do us any benefit up there. That could be a question I can get back to PAE and see what the, you know, building, maybe we can get a few or smaller, but that would be up to the committee if they want to do, you know, set aside a work group to do that and then get comments back. But that was in the last packet, and I can forward that on to you again, Jeff, if you want it.
Lance, I have a question about that drawing that you, that rendition, that first rendition of the north development. Was that the entire, I think there's 14 acres, correct, that we've identified as developable property down there or up there?
So there is 14.6 acres on the ALP, the airport layout plan, that was identified. There is a 500-foot required separation line, and then it goes into the 25-foot building and then the 35-foot building restrictions. The buildings that you saw on the plan were for any building that's 35 feet or higher. Before that, then there was the aprons, which is in the 25-foot area, but you can't build 500-foot from the center line of the main runway.
But was that the entire fort? Was that the entire area that we can develop, or was that just a quarter of it? Was that half of it?
That was the entire thing,
with the restrictions.
With the safety restrictions. The build restrictions and whatnot. But that was the whole 14 areas. So basically, the whole 14 acres. So you'd have two. I think they had two separate spots because there's the ravine in the middle. And then they had a spot that was to the south that had two hangars on it, and then a spot to the north which had, I think, like seven hangars, and then a small 25-foot high hangar or whatever. But they had the taxi lane going in, the taxi lane going out because they have those requirements for the flow of the taxiway. And then an apron, I believe it had like nine tie downs on it. And then the one on the north had a lane in and a lane out, and then that also had, I think, like 10 or 11 tie downs on it. But that's the whole area. That's what can go there, and it's really restricted because of that 500-foot mark.
Oh, I got a couple questions, or a couple other topics when you're done.
Okay, I'll just run through mine, then go, Ralph could go to his. Maybe you mentioned that we're open until 5 o'clock in the summertime, and I don't know if there's any way you would be able to open up maybe a certain, maybe 3 months, and have a guy be a little, you know, somebody available, you know, until maybe 7 o'clock, because that's when our money is and the sunlight is. I don't know if you're able to do that or not.
Well, there's myself and then two other people. The only time that all three of us are there is on Fridays. So it could be kind of hard, I think, to get that up unless we have somebody start early in the morning at 8, and then somebody else came in like at 10 or something. But that would be something I'd have to talk with administration about.
Yeah, I think it'd be advisable. I don't know how busy you guys really are at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there's people called, telephones and cars and all that.
Yeah, we're pretty busy with Hertz at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that's and perhaps we would be able to, you know, hire a part-time guy for things like that. So that's I don't know how you'd do it, but I think it'd be good to look into, and maybe you can talk it over with your Spencer or whatnot. And then the second thing was we're talking about this north end and what to do and what type of building. And then we still have availability, or I guess it hasn't been tied up, T-hanger area on our other side. But I think it would be advisable to talk to this wait list that people talk about and see what range they would be willing, a comfort range, I guess, that'd be willing to spend to have house an airplane if it were like a T-hanger. And sometimes people say, oh, I'm willing to do it at 200, but at 350, yeah, forget it. You know, money talks when it comes down to that. But it would help make the decision for somebody that wanted to build those to know. And maybe these are just ghost people. Yeah, I want to be out here, but they don't really mean it. I'm sorry. Well, I'll do another one here. The other... that was a land use site. Oh, and then the other thing that was on the agenda last time was the sign, and it was kind of, didn't have enough time to go over it. My feeling is that I would prefer to have a sign that's a little upgraded than, you know, a metal sign that's lit interior. I know the person does a nice job. However, I think the sign that is advertising Newport is the type of sign we want for the airport and not a commercial shopping center sign. Was proposed. Maybe have go ahead, Ralph.
Okay, a couple questions. One is the grass area between the jet ramp and the west hangar to access taxiway. Is you were going to have the engineering firm look into the feasibility of building in there? Did you get a response back?
Yeah, you can build one 40 by 42 foot hangar.
Seems to be. You couldn't do two? I mean, that's what they said.
That's what they came back with was one 40 by 42 foot hangar.
Well, it's better than nothing. You can go follow that up maybe down the road a little bit. And let's see, the other question I had was we sent out letters to those that were not using their hangars for aircraft storage a while back, and then I believe you sent a second letter out, and we never heard up the follow-up on any of that. Interestingly, I had a conversation with one of those individuals, that is a person who has a hangar who doesn't have anything in it and has it for a long time, and he said he never received the letter, so I just wonder what's going on and what the status is.
I hadn't heard any response from the second go around of the letters, but who was it that said that they didn't? Maybe I need a new address.
Stephen Wormley.
Oh, you mean the gentleman that wrecked his,
Ralph, that might be a good thing for me to segue, and I wanted to talk to the committee if it would be appropriate to maybe next meeting review all of the leases that we have outstanding, all the box hanger leases, the FedEx lease, the Life Flight lease.
I don't think we want to review all the leases. I think maybe what we ought to do is discuss what the next action is going to be, or is there an action underway? Is David taking some action on that?
I don't think David is taking any action on it. I guess what would the committee want us to do? Go in and do annual inspections? Is that, I guess, the direction the committee would like the city to go?
No, I don't think that's particularly useful. What I was looking for is action on those particular units that have been vacant, remain vacant, when we have people wanting to have space to shelter their aircraft. And, you know, if we could take action to get them for violation of the lease provision.
I'll have to check with David then on that. So is that for box hangar owners too, all hangar owners?
Affirmative.
Okay.
Hey, Jim, you have something?
Yeah, Lance.
And just a clarifier, Ralph, for your question, is that requiring aircraft that are in the hangar that are within the limitations with the FAA says that they have to be flyable?
Well, I think the FAA allows you to have aircraft under maintenance and construction and other things. So
up to 20 I think to 80%. So I'm just curious, because some people, you open the hangar and they might say, well, that's, you know, that's 80% complete. Then the FAA wants you to get a hard deadline from them to find out when it is going to be complete. And when it's not complete, you have them move out. So I guess my question is what limitations do you want to put on that?
Well, I think our agreement was, in an advisory meeting a while back, that we would go by the FAA stand, the current, because they do change, the FAA's current requirements. And obviously there's some room for debate on those, but I think there's some we know for a fact that are just sitting there vacant. And, you know, is there something we can do to make more hangar space available? The idea is not to go after the people that necessarily have the leases as much as it is to get hangar space available for all those that want it. That's the goal here.
Correct. And then the previous letters that were sent out, it did talk about that for box hangar tenants, if they had space available, to help make it available for anybody on the waiting list. And I think I only had two people contact me about that. Paul Lawson was one. And Dean Sawyer was the other. But the T-hangers is a good point, because that's city-owned, and that would be a different, because that person can't sublease, obviously, the T-hangers. That would be a different route, but might end up having to put another letter together with some hard deadlines in it. So,
yeah, that was my goal. Like I say, the goal of this whole discussion, the letters and everything, was not to go after people, but rather to make space available to those that needed space. And whatever the best way is to accomplish that. But like I say, I think some people have just ignored the request, obviously.
Okay, anybody else have more?
Yeah, yes, we do. Are you talking about the O&P squadron list? Is that what you're referring to? The O&P squadron list, like for the telephone numbers of everybody that was on that? Or are you talking about the actual hangar tenants that we have on the field?
I'm talking about all the tenants. Do we have an up-to-date list of the current tenants?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Is that available to the committee?
Yeah, I can get it to you.
Okay, thank you. Lance, you mentioned working on the budget this past year, or past few days, I guess. Is that budget available for the committee to look at? The airport budget, not the whole city budget, but just the airport budget.
Yeah, we can break it out and send it to you guys.
Well, I think at least I'd like to see a copy of it. I don't know about the rest of the committee members.
Sure.
You know, in the past, there's always been money set aside for your AIP funds or something, and we used to know where that went. And sometimes you had to wait 3 years to accumulate those. What What are you guys working on? Maybe an update on, before it was the pipeline, and there's all kinds of stuff going on, but what?
Well, we're still working on the pipeline that had to change mid-project because of the epoxy issue. It would have been too heavy for the pipe to sustain, unfortunately. So they're moving over to what's called a Waco seal. And then they also did, they had to do fish passage mitigation, which was, say, Lake Creek. Had to put in fish passage mitigation for that. I did send out a CIP update to the committee, and I can resend that out to you if you'd like.
Sure, go ahead. I think everybody gets so busy, they kind of we forget these things. I see we have Derek here, and I don't want to hold him up any longer. We can get back to some of our questions later, but the Derek, if you can go ahead, and I guess we had a checklist is the item here. Let us know what you think.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development. I trust you all have a copy of it. Lance, did you have a chance to make copies?
Well, I gave them a copy of the one, but not the one that you have all your writing on.
That's fine.
And Derek, I assume you got a copy of the comments we gave to David last meeting?
Yeah, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through what I understood those to be, and if I miss anything, please let me know.
Okay.
So one of the issues, I'm going to just go through this. The first one was under Step 4, approval by the Newport City Council. Last bullet, where there was a concern that lessees should have more than 1 year to complete construction. That's and obtain a certificate of occupancy. That's entirely reasonable. If 2 years makes more sense, I think that would be certainly appropriate to put on the checklist. So, particularly considering some of the challenges folks are going through right now with back-ordered materials and things of that nature. So, that's absolutely something we could do. The next that I have has to do with the perimeter of the lease area being surveyed and staked by lessee or their contractors or consultant. You know, frankly, it wouldn't be a reasonable thing. I mean, it would be reasonable for the city to just survey off all of those areas and stake them. That makes sense to me. Short of that, it does fall to the lessee to stake out the perimeter of what they understand their lease area to be. When our building official goes out there, he needs to be able to see what the perimeter of the site is. It does relate to building codes. It's my understanding that the practice has been for lessees to stake them out, and Lance confirms that the stakes have been placed appropriately. I don't know if those are actual surveyed locations or not, but that is what our building official would be using as a point of reference. So that's what I can share on that. So I don't know that language as drafted works all that well. But as a default, you know, and it's not all that different than what you would say in a city lot. If you've had an old city lot and you no longer have your property corners and you're going in there to build a house, well, you as the owner have the obligation to go and reestablish what those property corners are, and that's done by survey. But it certainly would make sense to me as a project for the airport to go out there, and because that way with a single surveyor, you can get everything to line up appropriately. The challenge you run into with individual lease areas being surveyed, or surveyors are good, but that doesn't always mean they line up. And so if you can do it with one survey and go off and pick off all of the different lease areas, that would make sense, but that's a cost, and that would have to be a project that you guys take on, so.
Oh, or maybe you can make it a senior project at OSU, but they yes, a certified survey, I guess. But yeah,
licensed survey. Then it would be a record of survey, be on file, and if anybody needs it, they could pull it. And certainly, over time, some of those survey corners would have to be reestablished as development happens and they get hit or damaged or relocated for various reasons. But
well, somebody made the comment to me, and I don't even remember who, that they couldn't get a surveyor to even do it.
That was me. I contacted the surveyor that you had suggested, and I couldn't ever get him to come out to do it.
You have to call around, and surveyors are in high demand, and it takes time, but it's certainly a type of task. If you want to pursue it, I'd be happy to help with that, get that arranged. But, you know, again, short of that, we have to have somebody establish what the boundary of the lease area is when they get ready for construction. And so, you know, if that's the practice you're doing right now, which is to stake it out, have the lessee stake it out, and then you confirm it's accurate, you know, we can work with that on our end.
Well, I think if you had certainly corner post on a larger area, at least there'd be a survey point. A local guy or even us could go by and measure from that. But to go out there and do a general survey to find out an exact point is very costly and difficult and timely. But if you get an area, you can go from, I can go from that point. You know, it's much easier now with the GPS.
So I think so that there's no confusion, what we can do is we can revise the language and just notes that the lessees to have the location staked out, you know, because that's the practice at this point. And we can drop the survey reference. But Lance is, you know, and then have it verified by the airport director that he's comfortable where the stakes are placed.
That sounds a lot.
That sounds better.
More
and
agreeable.
And then if you know, again, the risk you run is that the lease areas don't get staked out appropriately. I mean, that's the value you get with a survey. So there's a little bit of risk there, but that's what we're working with right now. The next one had to do with the lessee walking a copy of the fire suppression review to us. We really actually handle that in the e-permitting system. And so I don't know that they need to walk us anything. I don't even know that that's really happened in practice. So we'll get that language cleaned up in the check sheet. So that's all kind of coordinated internally with us.
Yeah, the comment that generated that was simply that the city should be talking to itself. Is probably
we log everything in through our e-permitting system, and so fire review goes in along with public works review and our review, and all of those comments get generally. Now there's coordination between lessees and the fire department directly, but that does work its way into our permitting, and I can't think of a circumstance where it was offhand where the lessee was the one bringing it to our attention. It's usually coming from the fire department. So we'll fix that. The last one has to do with 12 weeks for review. On that, that's about right. You know, I took a look at the last five that we've done out there on the hangars. I mean, 12 weeks, that's 84 days. The last five we've had, Williams, 75, Shapiro, 71, Taylor, 79, McRae, 31. Now, you stand a better chance on a shorter review if you provide plans that don't require revision. And so, you know, we can generally commit on 30 days for a review. Most reviews require revisions. That then goes on the applicant to get that taken care of. There are occasions where we actually have a couple rounds of reviews. Some things we run into. Again, you know, a number of these structures, you know, involve engineering, which then means we have to farm it out to one of our contractors, plan reviewers. And one of the things we do run into on that, and what I try to caution folks are, is just put in your plans what you intend to construct. One of the biggest issues we run into for revisions is people put in what they intend to construct, and then some other things they might like to construct, but they really aren't prepared to construct, and they didn't put all the details in there. When we send it to a contract firm to review, they review what's on the plans against the code. And if it's missing stuff, they flag it, and then we send it back, and they say, I'll just mark it out. Well, we can't. They can't just mark out stuff that's on plans that have to be prepared by a licensed engineer without taking on that liability. So the plans then have to be revised and those elements have to be pulled out. And in some cases, it's not as simple. What an applicant may say, I'll just take that mezzanine out. We didn't really intend to construct it. Well, that diaphragm of that mezzanine was actually part of the structural support for the hangar. You can't just simply take it out without coming up with some other means of supporting the hangar. So you end up having a domino effect. So if we get a clean set of plans, that review process goes pretty quickly. If it requires a number of revisions, it takes a little bit more time. But, you know, just looking at, because we've done a bunch of hangars recently, 12 weeks, 84 days, that's a safe number from what I'm seeing.
Why can't we just say with a target of 30 days after an acceptable plan is presented?
You know, I think I'd rather put a number out there that we can safely hit as opposed to putting things in lower that somebody may, you know.
The trouble is, you know, most of these have taken 10, 11, 12 weeks, but for that matter, they could take 10 years. You know, you have no control over that, really. So I think there ought to be a target in any event that the applicant says, okay, 30 days if I have all my ducks in a row. And I mean, and then if you have to revise it, obviously that date goes out.
If we had 30 days in here, you'd have one of these five that hit it. And the others are going to be at 75, 71, or 79 days. And I'm going to say, why'd you put 30 days in here? I thought my application was substantially complete. I'm just telling you, that's what we'll run into.
Well, do you know why? I mean, why is it taking? Do you know why it's taking so long? I mean, can we pinpoint the issue?
Well, there are a number of things. We have a lot of things that we have to do plan reviews on. Commercial, we do, you know, under state code, it just says, you know, we don't have a specific timeline. It just, I mean, the building official shall examine or cause to be examined within a reasonable time after filing. That's what the structural code says for commercial. We have a little bit different standard that applies to residential because of the issues surrounding availability housing in the state, a lack of sufficient housing in the state. We actually have a statutory time frame. We have to review residential in 2 weeks. It's in state statutes. So if we get residential commercial plans that come in, the residential gets the priority because we have an actual fixed timeline we have to review. So that's a piece of it. The other is, you know, with engineering, there's a finite number of engineers who do the plan review work. And so we're not the only, when we're sending it off to Clare, who we contract with, there's other cities that are sending it off to them as well. So 30 days is what they can provide in terms of, hey, they'll get their initial review done. And they do a pretty good job of hitting that.
Maybe a bigger issue with that was, and I apologize, I didn't know we were going to discuss this today, and I didn't bring the notes I had at the last meeting, so I'm trying to remember this. But one of the issues was it appeared that the city, according to the checklist, wanted to have the lease signed before your final review that goes through your department. And I don't know, I would not want to sign a lease on something when I didn't know whether I was really going to be able to build it or not. And so I objected to that particular issue, and I don't know if David passed that on or not.
Okay, I can take a look at that. I for one, don't have an issue with some language being put in leases that would allow for a lessee to pull out if they can't build.
Either withdrawal, you know,
yeah, that makes sense.
Agreed to an acceptable amendment. Another thing that was in there that up front that required a proof of liability insurance before you proceeded with the lease. Well, that seems a little premature since you don't know exactly what you're going to build and you don't have the lease yet. I mean, getting insurance under those conditions would be a little difficult. So I think it ought to be worded somewhat differently that it should be, you know, available at the start of construction or something like that as far as the insurance goes.
I believe you shared these with David Allen, right?
Well, you know, when we had the meeting last week or a month ago, and I assume you wrote them down, David is nothing if not thorough.
Well, I'd be happy to double back with him on that. He'd be taking the lead on the lease template, but I can certainly share your thoughts with him. Was there anything else under the checklist that comes to mind?
I think there were a couple other things, but I can't remember them now.
Okay.
Going back to Mark's question there, we've had, fortunately, several buildings and different types of buildings, and you have some now experience, and I don't know if we don't have that many more sites available, I guess, but in the future we might. If they would potentially, the airplane hangars, they're pretty much, they could be pretty similar, and actually if the guy was smart, he'd use the same company that was approved prior to him just for these particular purposes. But I mean, you might be that information, I don't know, it's private information, but I guess it's in the city, it's actually public. that you could say, here's a plan that has been approved. Maybe you ought to look at this, and that might speed things up.
Yeah, any site plan we have, engineered plans, those are plans that are available to the public, and anybody's welcome to take a look at them. You know, codes change over the years, so invariably plans have to be updated, but they can certainly be used for ideas and in terms of what they want to do.
Yeah, I'm just thinking basic ideas, and mm-hmm. somebody comes in and says, I want to do this, and then, well, no one's done that yet, so you be prepared, you know, but mm-hmm. yeah, it would help. Anybody else have any more further questions for Derek?
Well, like I say, I don't have my notes, but I think we covered the meat of it.
Okay. I believe we'll get a final draft of that for you guys for your next meeting.
That'd be great. And we'll look at it then and send it out.
I guess if you have any questions, Ralph, or when you go home, look at your thing. If you have any questions, maybe you can just send an email over to myself or over to Derek with your concerns.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, as long as I get overtime.
Sure. We'll tack that on.
We'll double your pay. There is one more thing that I had on my little list that had been brought up about solar power. And we're currently, you know, Lance and I and another person that has expertise in this suggested that we would be able to save at least $37 on several meters because they could be combined. And they use 17 cents of electricity, but $37 to read them. I don't know how we are with that, but this is mostly with gates, things like that. And the same person who has expertise in this said solar power, you don't need a feasibility study. It's feasible. And I wouldn't want to use the airport budget for that because it's like looking up whether the water drains downhill. So, I mean, that's where it goes. But I hope the city will go ahead with... We have land out there. That's one thing that is nice. And then the other thing that is happening with this new electrification of airplanes, there's one company, I think it's New Jersey, somewhere back east, that they are going to be using a solar farm to have battery systems in. They'll charge up these batteries, and the planes come in. They don't go to the grid. They go to the batteries that they've been charging up on the site. So those are just items that we don't read popular science enough anymore, but it's happening.
Lance, didn't we a few years ago, and I mean several years ago, wasn't there a survey of the meters out at the airport? And I remember at one point we were paying for some of the FAA's electricity and so on and so forth. Didn't some of that get strained out?
Yeah. That was like 5 years ago, honestly. It was a while ago. But I think what Jeff is referring to is like, for instance, there's a meter for the Quonset Hut. Nobody uses the Quonset Hut. The building has been condemned, so we could probably get rid of that meter because I don't see any near time in the future a new operations building being built or the Quonset Hut being replaced other than it just rusting away in spot. So we could probably get rid of that meter. And I think the gentleman was saying that there are a couple of meters where, you know, you're 20, 30 feet away from another meter that could be combined. And Jeff was saying like at the gates, for instance, I believe the main hangar gate that opens, there's a meter there for the gate, and then there's another one around the corner for something else. And so that's kind of what we're trying to delve into with that. But yes, we did straighten that out. We actually went to physically each meter and got all of the numbers off the meter and then contacted PUD, and they sent me over the list, and we got all of that straightened out. And then I think it was 3 years ago, all utility billing went to finance. So I don't even see the electric billing anymore.
Cindy.
So, yeah, I have a question, Jeff. So are you suggesting that you might not need a feasibility study for solar power, just have a couple of consults?
Yeah, there's actually companies that would come out and give you prices and whatnot, or here's what we need to do. They won't do that unless it's feasible. So there's other people doing, I mean, I just came back from Amsterdam, and they are in 53 latitude, and they have rain like crazy, and there's solar all over the place. But yeah, there I wouldn't pay for a feasibility study. I just pay for somebody to come out and give you a price on what it would cost, and then you can go from there.
Well, I'll reiterate what I said back when I was an esteemed member of the Budget Committee, and maybe even before that when I was on the council. But I think the solar idea and trying to integrate it in the city is wonderful, but I think the study ought to be citywide and be undertaken across the city and where we can use it and not be tapping the airport budget where we get a lot of complaints that we're spending too much money. I think that got to come out of the general fund and be a citywide study that would include the airport.
Well, I'm glad we have a liaison here to pass that word along, and I'm sure you guys will consider it. Anything further if you we have? Okay, I don't see anything here, no public, so I guess we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Great, thank you, everybody.